And we are live for the first time. So welcome to Unleashed if you're joining us. And remember, one of the things we always say is that we are the resistance. Man, it's good to have you guys here. If you're joining us today, Eric Foley is the man behind doing all the stuff over here, making this go live today. And Eric Foley, we always say he's the man who lives in a van down by the river.
Down by the river.
Eric, how you been, man?
Pretty good. How about you?
Well, except for the Steelers losing, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm a huge Steelers fan. You knew that. We've talked about that.
Yeah, it's from your home state.
It is my home state. Yeah. So did you get your Christmas shopping done yet? Last time we talked, you weren't there yet.
I think I'm done.
You're done. How many people are you buying for?
I don't even know.
Like, because your wife does the shopping?
Well, it's you think about someone, you buy something else. You think about someone, you buy something else. And it just kind of runs together. But I think it's all the way done.
You know, this next weekend coming up is the one I do not want to, like, drive 30 minutes away from my house. It's going to be absolutely nuts because everybody, you know, has been putting off getting the gifts.
Yep.
And I can, you know, luckily Stacy, she is amazing. She's thinking for months about what to get. And what's really funny is our youngest, we have two Emmas. And so the youngest would be 15 and then the oldest Emma would be 26 right now. But the youngest, he puts together these like kind of PowerPoint presentations for what she wants for Christmas. It's hilarious. And so she casts it to the television and we all kind of have to, you know, watch, and she does her whole little thing. And here's my number one priority. If I can't get that, if it's out of stock, give me number two. Yeah, she's just like your mom, like that.
Highly organized.
Highly organized. You know, I am not that person. I'm not necessarily a last minute person, but I can be close. I'm thinking about it. I love people. I love giving my wife, you know, words of life and encouragement. But sometimes I need to pick up the pace a little bit with putting those things into actions ahead of time rather than, you know, hey, I just had this thought about you. I'm going to go buy you something. It needs to be like way ahead of time so she knows there was some planning done. And it goes back, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I was always that kid that, you know, I knew when the test was going to be due or the paper was going to be due, but there was something about the pressure at that last minute that made me perform better. I don't know how to explain that. At least I thought it did. And sometimes I can still be like that. But I have to, like when I was in college too, what's funny is I was 21 before I ever sang, because a lot of you know that my background in music. And I would be the guy in college, you know, I didn't even sing till I got to college. And I got in private voice, believe it or not, somehow my freshman year. And I wouldn't practice. I would go up to the practice room above where my actual lesson was going to be with my voice teacher. And I would run through the song like twice. I'd sit down at the piano, kind of plunk out what the vocal parts were. I would go down and sing. And he would look at me and he'd say, "You just practiced this for the first time, didn't you?" And I said, "Why?" He says, "You know what?" He says, "You are so gifted." He said, "I would have never known." He says, "But I know what you're capable of." And he said, "If you would only take this stuff seriously and practice," he says, "just think about, you know, what your potential could be." And he was exactly right. I didn't, you know, that year I went to a thing called NATS. I think it was National Association of Teachers of Singing. And I took second in the country. But I was memorizing my songs on the way to the competition. I had to sing like in French, German, and English. But man, that's like a reflection of my whole life sometimes when I think about it. And I look at those people in my life that really practiced their craft, and they were highly motivated, very disciplined, and you would know some of them. You know, Stephen Curtis Chapman, I mean, he practiced constantly. You know, when I was touring with Sandy Patty, she was always practicing, just gifted. And I can, my wife would say to me sometimes, she'd say, "You know, babe, if you would just kind of take some of this stuff a little more seriously, when do you," because she doesn't see me, I'm at home working from home all day, "you know, do you practice?" I say, "I do now. But what I do now is totally different because it's not music. You know, it's speaking, it's writing, which is my passion." And she will say to me sometimes, "If you would take date night as serious as you do getting ready for hunting season, just think how wonderful our relationship, and our relationship is great." But she's exactly right. You know, when I think about my passion is the outdoors. I love hunting. I love fishing, love backpacking, all that stuff. But when hunting season is coming around, I've been thinking about it since the day after the last hunting season was over. And I plan it that way. You know, I'm like, I want to know where the deer were moving this time last year, so I know where to move that stand. I want to know where the food sources and the water and the water sources and the bedding, and because it's a constantly evolving, changing thing for those of you that love the outdoors. But here's kind of where we're headed today. When we find that thing in our life that we are absolutely passionate about, that thing that I always say that we can't not do or we'd be curled up under an underpass somewhere, we've probably just tapped into at least a part of what our purpose is. And someone might say to me, and I made a post about this week, I was talking about when people ask me, how did you ever work, you know, like hunting into your passion, your calling, your purpose? Well, it's kind of how God wired me, because my love and passion for the outdoors, there's a lot of guys and women too that love that stuff. And when I have a chance to go and I speak about this and people have a chance to come and they listen, I not only can take them down the path of how to become better at that art form or craft that they love it, but because I'm building trust, because I'm passionate, because I'm knowledgeable, because I've studied, I've practiced, now when it comes time to talk about my love for the one who made all that stuff and lead others to Christ, they're right there ready to listen. So kind of where we're headed today is, you know, we've got a couple things that can bite us in the backside sometimes if we're not careful. And we're going to talk about what keeps us from practicing and what is it that makes us tick that will cause us. You know, it's, yes, discipline absolutely is the thing there. But discovering that thing that we are so passionate about that we can't not do is kind of where we're headed, and then how to become better. So today we have a special guest, one of my dear friends. His name is Kevin Huff. And Kevin, you and I met probably around
91, 92.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
18. 1891. It does. It's about how old I am. But we didn't see each other again for how many years?
No, a good 15.
Oh, easy.
A good 15. I mean, I'll be 32 years married soon, and this was right before we got married, so probably 22 to 25 years maybe.
So Kevin, let me just kind of read his bio just a little bit here. And maybe just kind of talk about, you know, Kevin, you're a business coach.
I am. Yeah.
Tell us just a little bit kind of your background and.
Yeah, it kind of came from being a serial entrepreneur and spending a lot of time in corporate America, and recognizing that, again, in the giftedness space, one thing that God allowed me to do was figure out what a gap was and then help people close that gap. I couldn't draw a stick figure if I had to, Brent. I was zero giftedness there, but thankfully he gave me something to work with. And so over time, I realized I should leave corporate America and start my own firm, which has become now multiple firms, but most recently, a company that does a lot of that. We help companies identify what they're trying to achieve and how to get there, because there's this gap that's keeping them from getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's really funny is you might remember from a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I was going back into coaching again. You know, it's summertime, you know, my speaking events always go down. Most events aren't booked in the summer, they're fall and spring. And I was saying, God, what do you want me to do right now? Because I wanted to make sure that my time is being useful and helping others, because that's my passion. Communication. You know, I love the outdoors, but communicating my passion for the one who made all that is my main passion. And so I was sitting at a Starbucks. You know, I've been a certified coach for many, many years. Coached a lot of people, hundreds of people, probably thousands. And I was sitting there thinking, well, God, should I go back into doing some coaching again? And so I was writing some things down. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm making notes. And I was ready to leave. And God said, I want you to stay here 10 more minutes. And I said, why? Why 10? You know, he says, just stay 10 more minutes. Kevin walks through the door.
Yep.
And I said, dude, man, we haven't seen each other. He sits down. And I said, so tell me what you do. And he says, well, I do a lot of the executive business coaching. And I said, okay, this is getting weird now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we reconnected. And it was like God said, stay here, because, yes, I'm going to affirm that coaching is part of what I do. I'm calling you to do, because you're helping others, which, again, our purpose is really designed for helping people. That's why, you know, God gives us these things. But it turned into so much more than that. And that's why, you know, with Kevin being here today. Now, what's interesting is, Kevin and I connected or reconnected, I should say, through a mutual friend, Kevin Fair, who lives out in Colorado. Kevin, I think I might have told you this. I'm hunting out there maybe probably about 8 or 9 years ago. And I'm texting Kevin Fair. Well, I knew he lived in Colorado, but he's not going to be way out in the middle of nowhere where I am. And then I'm telling him, he says, so where are you? And said, well, I'm way back this road, an hour back here in the middle of nowhere. And he said, I said, I'm at the base of a mountain in this little hen-built cabin. And he said, I think I might be looking at that. And I said, what? So he says, do you have a green roof? And I went, no way. He goes, yeah. He says, I've got my binoculars. I said, so where are you? So he says, look at the mountain straight across from you, probably like 12, 15 miles as the crow flies. He was on a sheep hunt up on the side of that hill. He says, look, and you can see with these two, there's a V shape in the middle of the mountain. He says, I'm there at a spike camp right now. And he goes, and I'm looking across here and I see you.
Just a bit out of his range, though. He could put a round through your mailbox.
I don't know. Kevin's
pretty good shot, but 12 miles is a little bit of a distance.
How did you guys get connected?
Church. Back in my younger college days, he was right there before he headed out to Desert Storm. We got to know each other from the church. I played tennis with his dad, of all things, and then got to know Kev, and we went fishing, hunting together, have some crazy stories. Well, one crazy, crazy story, but yeah, great guy. Love him to death. Phenomenal wife. Got to know her as well before they ever even knew each other. She was part of our sort of youth and singing. We were on a singing tour group together, and yeah.
Man, it's a small world. Dude.
It is a very small world.
Small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
Well, then, Brent, what happened just not maybe 5 years later, so maybe around 6 years ago now, 5 years ago now. Well, when did your Roar Within come out?
Oh, let me think. The book, The Roar Within, came out in, let me think, what year was COVID? Was that 20?
2020.
Right, it before, came out right? in 2021, I think.
A little after. Okay, well, around 2020, 2021 then, I was running Cornerstone Pastors Network, and I had reached out to you and said, hey, I need a guest on our live,
oh, yeah.
Live stream. And you hopped in, and you were a great guest. And then I also brought my brother-in-law out. We sat down together.
That's
at
right.
Your Panera Bread.
That's Panera Bread.
Brent Henderson's Panera Bread here in Anderson, Indiana.
So Kevin and I are working on a new book. And, you know, I usually write together, but this time God said, I'm going to give you that person alongside you that's going to help sharpen you. And Kevin is incredibly smart.
Where's he at?
I know. Where'd he go? where'd who go? What movie's that from?
Oh, gosh. That's Top Gun.
It is Top Gun. I feel the need. But so anyhow, I just lost my place. I'm thinking Top Gun. Focus.
I'm here to help keep you sharper. You
see, said. That's what it was.
Got keep you. Me.
But that's exactly where I was going, because I'm that squirrel guy, right? Because we were working on this new book this morning, and I was telling him that I always used to write it at Panera Bread. That's where I wrote my last couple of books. And I said, I was so focused.
Oh, yeah.
And I was there. I would go 4 hours a day. And the next thing I know, I just tap on my shoulder, and it's these two police officers. And I'm like, what did I do here? And maybe I'm loitering or something. And he said, we need you. They said you've been sitting here for like 4 hours. Can you give us details about the accident? And I said, what accident? He says, the one right here in the parking lot outside the window, right by your window. I said, what? He goes, yeah, some guy slid in here, hit a vehicle, stuff like was up on this truck or trailer, all came crashing down. And I said, I never heard it. He's like, how could you not? That's focus. So in this new book, what we're talking
about. Like right outside your window. You're sitting next to the window.
I mean, it was probably 25 feet away. It was that close.
Do you wear headphones when you're writing?
No, I wasn't.
Wow, that was focus.
No, but if that had been a deer. I didn't know it was coming from
right.
You know.
Smelled it through the window.
Right. But so the whole thing, this new book is called Unleashed, which is the name of the podcast, ironically. And we kind of came back to this whole thing about purpose. We have this shared vision of seeing people equipped to do what God made them to do.
Yep.
So let me see where we can even kind of get this thing started here, because one of the things that he and I have in common is we're self-employed, basically.
Correct.
And so you spend a lot of time working from home?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that like?
I mean, I have an office space, as you well know. I didn't for a while. I worked from home. I struggle with that because that's where I'm a distracted guy. I am not distracted at the office. I can get very focused. But if I know the dishes need done or there's laundry running or I see my lovely wife, I'm going to be distracted every time when that happens. I mean, kids running around. They're a little older now, but if I see them, I'm happy to see them now because they're rarely home anymore. Yeah, I get distracted at home, so I hate it.
It's, you know, when Stacy gets home, I'm always like, hey, like on a Monday, like, let me tell you about the podcast. And she's like, how about saying hello?
I know.
And I'm like,
we're still in our working mind.
Yeah.
And I don't like that at home. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I much prefer my own quiet space.
That's one of the hard things, I think, from working from home is because you're not talking to people all day long, and it's real easy to get distracted. You know, what happened with the Steelers game last night? Well, let me check that out real quick, you know, and see if I can pull up a YouTube video on it. And the next thing you know, you've disengaged from what you were working on, and then it takes time to kind of reengage again to get back to where you were.
That's right.
So anyhow, so let me just kind of move forward here into where we were going to be talking about this book. And what we really want to be able to see this new Unleashed book, it's basically about you being able to discover your purpose and then being able to live that out the way that God designed it to be for you. And so when he put us together and we began to look at this whole thing, we were thinking, you know, well, do we want to do it like with, are there certain points we want to hit? I mean, Kevin's the master at having these little, you know, what do you call those?
Acronyms?
Acronyms, frameworks. Yeah, frameworks. And what's the one you had that we were talking about today? GRIP.
GRIP. Yeah, in fact, my business partner has finished writing our first corporate book. It's called The GRIP Factor, and it's simply what the people who succeed at achieving goals are doing to do so. And so we've had this GRIP acronym around for a long time, and it's very simple. It's easy to remember because it's kind of thing about like getting a grip on your goals, kind of, you know what I mean? And just to run through it real fast, it's, you know, G is clearly goal. You have to have a great goal. We're not talking smart goals. We're talking about a goal that really is meaningful. I'll get to that in a second. The R is hyper important because it's about the resources and your role. So you have a role, right, in achieving your goal, but there's also other resources that you need to lean on and lean into to help you achieve that goal. And then the I is the overall impact, meaning is it positive or is it like a negative implication? Like what's your incentive? That's really what the I is incentive. And then P is plan. But what's funny, Brent, is I'd love for that thing to be in order. But if it was in order, it would spell GERP. And GERP is no, GERP is no good. So, but I say to someone, like, what's your goal? And they go, oh, I want to you know, lose weight. Okay, what's your incentive for that? Ah, I just want to be in better shape. And they're going to drop that goal by Quitter's Day, which is the second Friday in January, you know? So we got to help them get focused on what their real incentive is. And that's what GRIP does, is it helps you figure out what's meaningful to me, what matters most. And then once I know what matters most, I can rebuild my goal to help me actually achieve it. So that's kind of the GRIP Factor piece, and I love that acronym because it really fits into what we're talking about here, which is, and what caught my eye, which was this pyramid you introduced me to. We've expanded it a little bit since then, but this pyramid idea of, I don't want to steal your thunder, but planned and purpose and passion, and et cetera, and the idea that to really achieve that stuff, especially when you get down to the practicing component and the prioritization stuff, you really need a plan to achieve that stuff, right? You need to... But no, a plan without any actual incentive is going to fail.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we were going down through this. You know, I work with men, you know, all the time, and I speak to men all the time. That's my primary purpose is really communicating to men. And again, you know, it's been neat because I do see a lot of men, women, families, everything coming to the events. But the way God wired me, it really is to speak that, I don't know whether it's just that masculine tone or encouraging. You know, I get. Constant emails or texts, you know, after these podcasts from guys. And they're like, dude, I needed to hear that today. I needed to be encouraged to remember that who I really am is Christ in me as a believer, you know, and not what somebody else thinks about me. Because I posted yesterday on somebody's post and they were talking about struggling with other people's opinions again. Twice in the last day. One was with the Christian Bowhunters of America. Somebody was on there talking about, you know, he had gone through a divorce a number of years ago and he's still almost like the outcast. And, you know, unfortunately, we see that to be true so much because people, for whatever reason, they don't understand their one true identity. And if you're tuning in for the first time today, watching us live, let me just kind of say something really quick. You know, when you go back to Romans 3:22, it says, you know, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe, to all who believe. You go back to Psalm 103, he says, he's cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. You go to Hebrews, he remembers them no more. And people forget that their one true identity, God never identifies you by your sin. He doesn't. You are his beloved. And if it's true that he's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west for a believer, He's saying, what sin? What are you talking about? And so I think that's one of the beautiful things we want to do with this new book, just like I communicate through the Unleashed podcast, is that you were planned by God. And because you have sin, like all of us do, it didn't cancel out your purpose. You know, you still have those. And let me just kind of run through them. I mean, let's talk through these. Let me kind of give an outline.
Yeah.
So the way that the purpose funnel works in this new book that we're putting together, it really does have an order, because you can have a passion. You can maybe kind of know what your purpose is. You're trying to discover it. But if you're not walking it through in a way that really helps things move forward, you're going to, like he just said, you're going to lose interest.
Yep.
So let me just kind of touch on these, and then we'll start unpacking this. So first of all, it's really important to know that you were planned by God. I mean, that's number one. It's going to be in the book. Number two is that he made you with a purpose. Absolutely, 100%. Number three is that you have passions that he's made that are within you that are going to be connected to the plan that he has for you, because people are drawn to what you're passionate about. It's that light. And it really doesn't matter. You're going to find things that your audience can connect with, because they see your passion and they relate to that. Then the next thing we talk about is principles. You know, it's really important that we follow what God says, how to be able to handle ourselves, handle our business or whatever it is, to be able to move forward, that it's going to be having God's blessing, you know, following his principles. And then after that, you've got to practice. You know, it's not like, well, here you go do it. No, even when I'm speaking to people from all the years in music and writing, you have to be prepared. So you have to practice your craft. And then you have to have a plan. And what is the saying, people fail?
Yeah, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
And so that's one of the things we're touching on, is, you know, how to be able to put that together. And then the next thing we talk about is priorities.
Yeah. This is where you should it on yourself.
Yeah, the should statements.
Yeah.
And so that's S-H-O-U-L-D, in case. Yeah. I said I'm going to write a book someday called Stop Shooting on Yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have to prioritize,
yeah.
You know, and put things in the right order. You know, if you don't, you're going to get distracted, like we were talking about. And so then when you put all those seven things together, what does that lead to? Well, it leads to productivity, which profits others, because your gift is created to go and bless others with. Yeah. So as we were talking this morning.
Yeah.
So let me just kind of say, when you write a book, and especially when you're doing it with somebody else, there's going to be days when we get together on Monday mornings.
We do.
And there's days you're like both ready, like today we were ready. What was last week?
Neither of us were ready. But the problem is, neither of us could text each other and say we didn't want to do it, because we had already missed the last 4 weeks in a row due to travel and other events in life.
Yeah.
So I think we both felt like we had to be there. And it was great.
Yeah.
It was energizing.
Yeah, last week we were both coming in going, I just don't feel like doing this.
That's good to see you, Brent, but I don't know if I want to work on anything today.
But what did we do?
I mean, it was fantastic. We actually shared with each other kind of why we were in that space. You know, what was it that caused us to feel that way? What had been some of our struggles over the last 3 to 4 weeks, which we often talk about, but had been a longer period of time. So it was kind of a buildup of some of those things. And just kind of talking through that thing with your brother and going, oh, man, this is great. Like, you know, let's roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, again, that iron sharpens iron. Even when you're both down, there's something about getting together and just saying, man, what's happening? Why are you feeling like this?
Lift each other up.
It gets your eyes off yourself, for one thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is. And then when you help somebody else, you feel better.
It's absolutely amazing how that works. You feel much better helping someone else than them helping you. It's just like gift giving. You always feel better giving the gift than getting the gift.
Yep, absolutely.
It's how he's made us. It's kind of cool.
So as we were in there today and we were talking about the last month before that, so this is now I'll tell on myself. I don't know what you want to do with this, but you know, when you know you don't have a deadline, like I'm supposed to have this written by Monday, right? Because you were gone for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we had stuff going on. Well, then I get busy on other things. Well, there's not a time, you know, I got to have a time punch here. This got to be done. And squirrel, hey, that looks like something I want to do, you know. And then the next thing you know, it has been like a month. This is just an example for all of us. And you said this today. I loved it. We were talking about, you know, purpose. And what is the enemy of that?
Yeah, the enemy of it, and really the enemy of sort of those last P's, right? Practice. And et cetera, is procrastination.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the enemy of discipline. Procrastination is the enemy of discipline.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just takes us out of our practicing, our planning, and our prioritization, and that keeps us from actually achieving what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about, so if the enemy of, you know, practicing what we're talking about and making a plan and prioritizing, if the enemy of that is procrastination, we said the ally
is discipline.
Is discipline.
Yeah.
You know,
and that goes in the book. Like it's
yes.
It's those moments where we go, we got a sentence. We got a sentence for the book now. What do we do with it?
But what's it like for you? Because you said, hey, listen, you said you're probably going to be writing most of the stories. I'm going to capture the concepts and put them in these orders. But I've said, no, you got way too much to do that.
I think we've probably come to a place where we realize we'll both put a good amount of effort into the writing part of it. My brain tends to, I like to be in chaos and create order. Like I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I took 12 pages of notes today and then spent, you know, a little bit of time in what I call fun, organizing them into categories of, you know, frameworks. And I get it, man, but I like that.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, as you start telling stories, we realize we've got a lot of stories that we can both share. So I'll share Kevin Fair. I said we had a crazy story.
Yeah.
We're fishing up between two lakes, and he could tell you which ones. Granby and something else. I can't remember where we're at, but we're up in the mountains in the Rockies. And, you know, if you've spent any time in the mountains, you know that lightning storms can come out of absolutely nowhere. You have no idea. If you're not paying attention, they're on you. And this is, we didn't have cell phones back then. We weren't like tracking radar. I mean, we didn't, maybe I looked at the news broadcast in the last week. I don't know. So all of a sudden, and we're in a river in a valley. I mean, nowhere to hide valley. And all of a sudden, crack, just the nastiest lightning bolt. And then all of a sudden around us, just crack, crack, crack. It's just everywhere. And we're running, and we find like sort of a lip on one of the shores where there's a tree. And we're huddled underneath the roots of the tree. Probably also not a great place. We probably should just lay down flat on the ground, right? But you're scared. Candidly, you're scared to death. And you're like, I got to hide somewhere. So we huddled up next to each other, all curled up in a ball. Like, dear God, please help us live through this. Told each other our, you know, our deepest, darkest secrets in that moment and said, if I live through this and you don't, then I'll tell your stories. And if you don't, then I'll, you know, you tell my stories. And it was crazy. And I've never shared your secret, Kev. We're good.
We'll have to reach out to him after this. And we were talking today, too, about, you know, when you're with that person up in the mountains, even though you have these storms, there's a trust. It's like, okay, I know I got somebody with me. And as we were going through this whole thing with the purpose, you know, and walking through this book, we were talking about, what was it I said? You know, God will lay down these breadcrumbs. What was the interpretation I used? It was a P word because I said we needed
it. And you said premonition. I didn't like it. And we chose a new word.
Oh, promptings.
Yeah, prompting. Yeah.
Yeah, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And so with this new book, one of the things we want people to be able to look for is the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm going to try to figure my purpose out here, and these are the things I think are really cool that I see whoever doing, and I would like to be doing that kind of a deal. But here's the thing. There was a commercial years ago. It was by Gatorade, and it was like, Be Like Mike. And so they had this, you know, Michael Jordan doing all these slam dunks, you know, spinning 360s and, you know, put the ball under his leg and come, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you see these kids, and they're all trying to do it, but they can't. And I went, that's the wrong message, because they're trying to emulate what Michael Jordan was doing, and there's only one Michael Jordan, right? What is it that you do well? What is that thing that that God didn't just make you good at, but others would look at it and go, that's what I see in you. I mean, that's where your passion is. And we were talking about when you have that person in your life, like what Kevin Fair was for you or those different brothers that we have, that we can say, man, you can tell me anything at any time if I need to hear it.
Sure.
It develops trust. And we need people, especially when we're looking in this time of seeking our purpose, you need someone who can come alongside and say, I'm going to be really honest with you because I love you.
Right.
And we were talking about like a father, think about it, God being our father, but like a little boy on the steps. And God, those promptings, he's saying, I want you to come this direction. And you'll know it because, again, if God is in you, then that emotions that you have are going to line up with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, things like love, peace, patience, joy, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, whatever. But if the emotions aren't lining up with that, when you're thinking about maybe I should be doing this and you're getting this like, no, it creates, you know, rage, anger, all those different things, then you're going, okay, hold on, put the brakes on here for a second. But when that child trusts his father, it doesn't matter whether he's on the second step or he's up on the fifth or sixth step. That kid's diving, man.
They're jumping.
Yeah.
Because they trust.
And what was it we talked about? One of the things you're going to have when God is calling you and moving you is you have to be willing to risk.
Yeah, risk and also pay the cost.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, I think biblically it's sacrifice, right? And a lot of people are willing, they say they're willing to do something. And I think willingness is followed by eagerness when you actually are willing to pay the cost and eager to pay the cost. And without that, you won't achieve where you're headed to go. Because, like, I'll talk about myself. I need to lose weight, but not to lose weight. I need to get into shape. So part of that will be losing weight. Well, when I'm willing to pay the cost, Brent, is when I will actually achieve my objective. Until I'm willing to pay the cost, why even tell anyone?
Yeah.
Right? Because the cost for me is going to be, you guys enjoy that cake, I'll just watch because I like cake.
Right.
Right? The cost for me will be, I may be hungry at 9 o'clock at night and I maybe would normally eat toasters, I don't know, whatever. Nope, no toast. Right? The cost for me might be, I really love butter on everything. That's 102 calories per tablespoon. I eat a half a stick of butter and wouldn't think twice about it. Well, the cost for me will be no butter or less butter. And those are costs just associated with just eating. That's only a part of it. Then there's the cost of getting up earlier, getting to the gym, you know, having a complete lifestyle change. Well, there's sacrifice involved in that. And if we do not have a great enough incentive, we won't do anything. So a smoker will smoke and know they need to stop. But until they have that heart attack and the doctor says you'll die if you don't stop smoking, they don't stop smoking. Now their incentive is great enough because they've been told by a doctor, you're going to die.
I love what you said. Willingness creates eagerness.
Yeah, if it doesn't lead to that eagerness, then you're not going to get there. I can be willing, but if I'm not eager, I'm not hunger for it, so to speak, then it's still going to be a real big struggle.
Oh, and I found out 3 years ago that I had type 2 diabetes, and it was right about this time of the year when you've got Thanksgiving and Christmas. And
well, Halloween leads into those two things.
Oh, the sugar.
It's a crazy 3 months.
And I just started looking at this, and I went, how long do I want to be here? Because I was pre-diabetic, where my numbers were, and he says, you know, I want to put you on medication. And I said, well, here's the deal. I'll go on medication. I was kind of being a jerk, I think, maybe a little bit. And I was like, I'll go on medication, but only for 6 months. He goes, all right, but here's the deal. Here's what you got to do if you want that. And my family it's a genetic thing in my family because I, you know, exercise almost every single day. So it was a genetic deal that I was born with this stuff, whatever, but I could do better with it. And I went, well, you know, I've had relatives that had to have amputations and they've had heart disease. And I got to looking in the mirror and I went, what do I want? You know, God has this purpose, you know, in my life that I love doing. It's like the willingness and the eagerness, it all comes out. And I can't wait to get back out on the road again and ministering and even doing the podcast and reaching guys. But if I'm going to do this for as long as I possibly can, then it came down to a matter of, Brent, you got to take better care of yourself. And so you think about that, body, soul, spirit. That's one of the things that I talk about a lot when I
absolutely.
Speak. Is, yeah, God, he put his promise, Holy Spirit, within you. And, you know, we talk, that's imputed righteousness. And then we talk about imparted righteousness, where now that Christ's enemy begins to come out and we see the fruit of what begins to happen. I begin to go and do those things because God is moving me to do those things. But I have that responsibility, too, in this temple of God that he's given me to take care of that. And so you can even include that, I think, in this whole list.
Yeah, no question about it.
We have a P word for that? Physical activity. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. We'll come up with something.
Yeah. Hey, so there was something that you were talking about. Like, we talked about how procrastination is a slow death.
Yeah, it's to our own detriment.
You had a story.
That's correct. And the interesting thing about the story is, I love it. So true or not, I still think this is a great story. There is some question as to whether this is really true or not, and I have not verified it. But I'm going to share the story because it's great either way. The story goes that every night in Alaska, the native Inuit goes to bed hoping that he's done what he needs to do to protect his livestock. Because every night in Alaska, the wolf comes out looking for his next meal. And so what the Alaska native does is he'll take the big knife, right? You got a big knife with you.
Let's do. Let me just kind of give you an idea. So
flash
it
on the screen for us real quick.
Well, you had told me this story, yeah. And I was like, now I've got a knife, right? Now, this is a knife.
This is a knife.
Look at this baby.
It's gorgeous, too. I'm right in the middle of a story, and we're showing off a knife because it makes – this is us.
I know. When I came in, I said to Eric, am I even allowed to bring this thing in here? But that's – and it's sharp. It's cool. So this will kind of give you a little bit of an idea of maybe what he's talking
about. So just hold
that
for me for just a minute. So imagine then that the Inuit will take the fat of an animal, and he'll wrap it around that knife. And then he'll dip the knife in the blood of the animal and then freeze it and then dip it and freeze it and dip it and freeze it a few times, kind of like making a big blood sickle, a big knife blood sickle out of it. Then he'll jam it in the ground. And he goes to bed because he knows he's done what he needs to do to protect his livestock. So what happens is when that wolf comes out, the keen sense of smell that wolf has picks up on that blood and that fat, and it finds that knife. It doesn't know it's a knife, right?
Right.
And it starts licking it. And it licks it until it gets to what it really wants, Brent, which is not the frozen blood, which is not the fat, but it's the warm blood that drives the wolf crazy, and he'll devour that knife. Because it's his own blood.
Yeah.
It's his own blood.
Yeah, one cut at a time, he's killing himself.
Yeah, so he's doing this whole thing, what he thinks is the right thing to do, right? He's being driven to feed. He's found what he believes is his food. He's doing what he thinks is the right thing to his own detriment. And that's what a lot of us do when we don't understand the proper approach to many things. We'll do things to our own detriment. You shared a story about a bear that dug a hole.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that today. But
also up in Alaska, right?
Well, so I'm going up in Crow Pass. It's outside of Girdwood, Alaska, and it's several miles up the hill. But when you get to this old abandoned gold mine, just to the left of this gold mine, there was a hole. It was like 6 foot deep by 6 foot, around circumference. And I was like, what is it? And then we begin to look, and you see the bear claws where he was digging this. He took out probably 2,000 pounds of dirt to get a 2-pound ground squirrel. And you think about how much time and distraction, to get something that small. But when I was thinking about this knife thing and about licking that thing one lick at a time and slowly killing ourselves, that's what we do when we don't have focus, when we're not prioritizing, when we don't have a plan, when we don't know what our purpose is, when we're not practicing our craft.
Right.
We're literally, well, what am I supposed to do today, Lick?
Yeah, that bear thought it was supposed to eat and did everything it could to eat, but it expended way more calories to get to the food than it got out of the food. So to its own detriment, it chased down the food.
Yeah, so maybe you're trying to do this, whatever it is that you want to do, your purpose, your feeling that God has called you to do, and you start getting busy. And you said this today, and I said, you know when I get stuck? I said, I'm great when I've got an idea and I'm going, but then all of a sudden when I need a resource that I can't just pull up off of YouTube, like something I need to have done that I don't know how to do and it's going to take me too much time. I said, I need kind of like a Rolodex with people that know how to do that.
That's the resource piece.
Yeah.
Super critical. That's right there in the grip thing. You have a role. That's the R in grip. And the other, R, if you will, is that you have to have your resources ready. The French have a term for it when you're cooking. It's called mise en place, right? Before you cook, put everything in its place. Kind of true for before you do most things in life. Be prepared. I think good old Boy Scouts, right?
Yep.
From way back when. Be prepared. That's what really is the whole point of that. So, yeah, your resources that you needed. And if you don't have those resources ready, that distraction is a huge waste of time.
Yeah. And it really is. It's like one lick at a time. Hey, let me ask, Eric, do we have any questions that have come in?
We do.
What we got?
This is from Lewis.
Okay.
Lewis wants to know, how do we know what we're doing is the thing we're supposed to do and not the thing that is actually the thing that is our determinant.
Yeah.
To our own detriment?
To our own detriment. Okay. Yeah, that was one of the, we had talked about a little bit earlier is what burns, and by the way, hey, Lewis, what is it that burns inside you, that thing that, like, what was the thing, the willing, was it?
Willing and eager.
Willing and eager.
Yeah, like, I'm willing to do certain things, but when I'm eager to do them, I know I'm all in.
Yeah.
Right? I'm willing to pay the cost at that point in time. Yeah, so I think that's a good way to look at it. But, also, if you feel like you're spinning your wheels, it's probably not the right thing. If you don't feel like you're gaining any traction, you don't feel like there's any forward movement, or support in getting you to a forward movement. People even pushing your car if you're currently spinning your wheels, right?
Right.
If you don't have any of that, it might be the wrong thing, or yeah. It might be the wrong approach to the right thing.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people will ask the same thing too. Well, is calling in, you know, purpose or my job, how did those, is it the same thing? Is it, do I have a job over here, but yet this is my purpose over here? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great question. And, you know, Lewis, I don't know your age and or your generation, but I find that when we look at the millennial generation and the Gen Z generation, these groups have begun to really understand that they can do what they love to do. They can do what their passion is. Now, if they feel called in an area, you know, is that their passion? Not necessarily. But if it's God's calling, we'll be equipped to make it happen.
Yeah.
Right? We still won't be spinning our wheels. If it's really his calling, he'll equip us to make it happen, whether it's the people around us or otherwise. But what I love about these generations is they've recognized that they don't have to have a J-O-B anymore. They can now do what fuels them. And I think we can learn a lot from that type of thinking.
What was the quote John Eldridge had in Wild at Heart? You know, when you're looking for what to do, it's do what makes you come alive, because the world needs to see men who have come alive. You know, God, when he puts you here, what is it, John 10:10? You know, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But he says, but I've come to give you life and life to the full. Well, you might be doing something over here that you have to do for a time as far as, you know, making income to take
Certainly.
Care of your family.
Paul made tents.
Yeah.
That probably wasn't his.
I mean, Jesus is a carpenter, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when you think about this for a second, I just made a post on this. I said, you know, how did my purpose come out of hunting, really? Well, it wasn't just like an overnight thing. It took time right. to develop to what I'm doing now. And so I think as we move along, are there purposes for right now? Well, of course there are. Taking care of my family. That's part of the purpose that I have.
Part of your role.
Part of my
Christian
role.
Christian father and husband. And yeah.
And that lays down a model for somebody else looking about what they need to be doing, because I'm called to be doing these things, what we talked about, you know, making that a priority and making sure I have a plan about loving my family well. Are we going to do Christmas decorations at this time and make it a family memory? You know, there's things that matter. And then there's that overarching thing. When I look at it, you know, I'm a communicator, and mine is to reach people for Christ through my life stories. I say I'm going to write a book someday. It's called To Be Told. That's what we need to do, is tell your stories. But, Eric, we got another one?
This is just a comment. It came in a little earlier, but I wanted to let you know that the other Kevin did comment. He wanted you to know that, let's see.
Hopefully he said he kept my secret.
Yeah, it was a small crevice in the bank, not the tree root.
Okay.
And you better keep the secret.
You know what's funny? We say that jokingly, he and I, because you know what his secret was? I'm going to tell it right now. And he knows it's not a big deal if I tell it. His secret was, tell Sherilyn I love her with everything in me. And that's who he ended up marrying.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, one time you'll have to ask him here about the elk that he shot right real close to his house. Wasn't too far. He didn't have to go far. Maybe you already know that story.
That's a beauty, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my word.
McKenna, I believe, took an elk fairly young. I can't remember what age she was, but he raised him right there.
Well, and one of the questions, too, or one of my comments was, do you know the story about that crazy bear that I had to shoot? I tore my blind apart and was coming back at me, and I was in the blind putting the thing back together, and they shot it, and the DNR was questioning this. They were like, this was really an aggressive bear, and if you, I wish I had a picture. We're doing this live, but I don't have it up. But I've told the story on here before. It was the craziest looking bear you've ever seen. It had the fur almost of a brown bear, or a grizz, but the face of the head was more like a black. And they were saying that they were having some crossbreeding things that were going on. They were curious about if this could be one of those. And I think it's Kevin's daughter is like a biologist or something. And we were talking about this. Maybe they could be doing some testing. And maybe Kevin, you can message me that later. But. So looking back over, when you think about what we're doing with this whole thing, planned, purpose, passion, principles, practice, plan, priorities, is there any one of those things that you've come in contact with people that go, that's probably my biggest struggle?
I honestly think it's the Third one, and that's passion. And that's actually kind of goes back to the question that Lewis asked. I think what we see here, I shouldn't say I think, I know what we see here is this. That's the first place that we begin to, I'm going to call it lose hope. I think it's clear that we are planned by God. Anyone that's a Christian, anyone that spends any time in the Word can see that we're planned by God for a purpose. We have a commission, etc. Right? So it's just crystal clear to us. We have a purpose, which is part of his plan for us. So we see those two things pretty clearly. Then we go to, well, what's the thing that I have that if I didn't do it, I'd be curled up under a bridge, as you always say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even I struggle with that. I'm like, I don't know if I'd be curled up under a bridge if I didn't do what I did today. I'm sure I'd find something else that was fun. But I have a lot of interests. So I struggle with that even.
Yeah.
But when you get a hold of something it doesn't have to be a single passion, right? It's passions plural.
Yes.
When you get a hold of something or some things in there that you love to do, I mean, beyond my family, I love pickleball. It is a huge passion for me. I'd love to be paid $1 million a year to just do pickleball stuff, or $20,000 a year. I'm just saying I would love to be paid to do pickleball. I mean, I'm not, but it's a passion of mine. But that's the first place where kind of like that lie comes in, right? That passion killer lie,
mm-hmm.
which you see all the time. That's my performance plus others' opinions equals my self-worth. And that is a lie straight
from
hell.
The big lie, yep.
Right? So the evil one wants us to think that that's the truth, and it's a lie. And that's the first place it begins to erode this pyramid, right? The evil one can't take away what God's planned for us or his purpose for us. He can't do anything there at all. But when we get introduced into the story, and because it's now our passion,
yes,
he can begin to erode that. And so for me, I think that's probably, may not be the primary place, but I think it's the most important place that we need to watch for.
Well, and when I think about my passions, I can look at a lot of different things that I love to do. Like I said, I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love to backpack. I love speaking at events. But all those things work together. And that's, you know, what's the verse of Romans 8:28? You know, all things work together.
Yeah. But really good, yep.
And for those who love the Lord. And so God knows your passions. He knows. He's giving you your gifts. He's giving you your talents. Like when Kevin was talking about that, that willingness leads to, or is it eagerness?
Willingness has to have eagerness with it.
Yeah.
Like they have to, you have to be willing and eager. Because again, you might be willing to cross the river, but you also might procrastinate.
Yeah.
When you're eager, you're like, let's go. And you just get across that river.
And you know what? And with Lewis, you know, coming back too with that whole thing with what am I supposed to be doing? One of the things that I think is really important to do, and we were talking about the promptings of the Holy Spirit, is really pay attention to what God's doing. And not just today. But where has he been shaping you? What has he been teaching you? Where do you see your story having an impact on others' lives? Because you were put here at this time, this place, for God's purposes. And, you know, it was at Rick Warren with The Purpose-Driven Life. He starts the book off with saying, it's not about you. And I understand what he was saying here. It's about God. But I want to add to it, and I want to kind of bring it back and say, well, partly when you want to look at it, it's about you right now. Because this is your life. You're listening to this. And so you have to say, so God does have this purpose for me. So that is about you. But you have to look to see who you are in Christ to be able to listen. We talk about the Holy Spirit. You cannot walk into your passion unless you're really willing and able to do what God is calling you to do. So it's going to, we talked about cost today.
Yeah. You have to walk in the Spirit first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a teamwork thing. It's not God or me. It's God and me and God in me, right? It's a total teamwork thing. It's just that when you look at the pyramid, those first two layers are directed by God. The next letter he gives us, the next one he gives us direction in or passion toward, if you will.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, as we're building it out, it's still on us to be within his word in doing those things, right? If I'm planning, if I'm prioritizing, if I'm practicing, those things all still need to be done, you know, while I'm in his word and in his will. But I have freedom there, too.
And so as we kind of get toward the end of this, I wanted to bring it back. And you and I this morning, when I was talking about that big bear hole that was in Alaska up in Crow Pass, I briefly touched on this a couple minutes ago, was we walked by an old gold mining operation and because this bear hole was right next to that. But there was this big, like a big funnel box.
Yeah.
And they would take all that. That's kind of like when you think about this funnel, all these ingredients, you know, at the very end, it creates productivity, but the goal is to profit others. And so when you think about everything they were putting in that big, I forget what was the name of it.
I think it's called a trommel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they put everything in that, and it would sift, and they would go down through all these other shaker boxes, but eventually it was to get the gold. Well, the gold is to profit others.
It is.
So we take all these things, and when you put these all together in the right way, then that's what you're going to see. But there were two things with this box, because there would be so much weight they would put in. It couldn't just be this funnel. It had to have a support.
Held up, right?
Had to be held up.
Yeah.
What were the two things we...
Yeah. I think our funnel that we've designed, you've really, honestly, you've designed that I've just maybe helped color a little bit, has these legs also that are supporting it. And it's prayer and promise. God's promise for us, His faithfulness to us, and our prayer, you know, interceding on behalf of ourselves and others around us for, I think those two things are really probably holding this funnel in place.
And I think when you know God, because you're spending time talking to Him, you know, the whole, that day that I saw you at
Starbucks,
I got home and it was the very next morning. I got down on my knees in my office and I said, God, do you want me to do coaching again for a time, or is that going to be, and I'm not kidding. I picked up my phone. And I, you know, unlocked whatever. And the first thing that came in, it said, unleash your inner coach. I didn't search for that. What's my podcast? Unleashed, right?
Right. We talked about coaching there at Starbucks. And the funny thing is, I was there to coach a lady who is a president at a local facility. And I just said, hey, you can wait, right? And she was totally cool with it. My wife was with us. So
yeah.
They have a good relationship. They were just chatting for a while. But I mean, I was literally there to do some coaching.
But that's what I'm talking. When you have that prayer language, because you're the Holy Spirit's within you. And so when you have that one leg where you're going, okay, I have prayer. I have that language with my Father. So guess what? When you spend time talking to any father, your earthly father or whatever, you know His voice.
Mm.
So now when you know His voice and you talk about, so that's one of the legs holding up this funnel. And the other one being, what was the other one? Promises.
Yeah,
the promises of God. When you can look back under your life and you can see the promises of God, how He's been true, and you're talking about, well, what am I supposed to be doing? How do I take the next step? Get on that first step and see if your Father is standing there. Second step, third step. Once you get to know your Father and His promises are true, there's no telling how high you're going to be able to go up on that step, because you know He's going to catch you no matter what. So, Kevin, man, thanks.
Thank you, Brent. Quite an honor.
Yeah, for being here. I can't wait to get this book done. It's going to be called Unleashed.
Yes.
You know, make sure to give us a like on here. You can subscribe to the channel. You know, this time of the year, it really does help the end of the year giving. You can go to the Unleashed Men page, and under the About, you'll see a donate link where you can be able to give to this ministry so we can keep things going. But let me just kind of end today like I always do, because I want to encourage you guys out there. You know, maybe the whole big lie has kind of bit you in the backside that my performance plus others' opinions equals my self-worth. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You have everything you are ever going to need to be able to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. Lean into Him. Stop listening to others. Because when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous because he's been unleashed.
Unleashed.
Yep. It's good to be with you guys, and we will see you next time. Thanks, buddy.
You bet.